There are people who will never be, shall we say, inclined to support Democrats because of, they just have a different orientation toward women, people of color, LGBTQ. You know, they just are not ever going to be there. So say that's about like 30% or something like that. And then of the Republicans.
That is former Speaker Pelosi. And she's just saying 30% of Republicans are basically racist to hate gays. But besides that, we're very open to bipartisan legislation, perhaps. So this is someone who's been around for 150 years. And that is her view. And that's what she's spouting out. What is that view for you? Do you view Democrats like that? Do Republicans, do you think you're being characterized correctly? Kat Timfus here, co-host of Gutfeld. Today is the release of her brand new book, I Used to Like You Until How Binary Thinking Divides Us. Kat, welcome back.
Great to be here.
How perfect was that clip for what you're talking about?
I was like, wow, Nancy Pelosi needs to read my book.
Yes.
She really does, because I write in the book, I cover research in this book, there's this so-called perception gap between the parties where people believe that people in the opposite party hold these extreme views that actually very few people actually hold in reality. And what she's saying there is actually doing real harm, right? Because that's not reality. That's simply not reality. I don't know how you could be in politics this long and not get to know a few Republicans a little better to know that that's not true. Or maybe she does know it's not true and she's just weaponizing it for politics. Either way, there are real consequences to this because it just divides us unnecessarily based on something that's not in reality.
And that's the concept of your book, right?
Mm-hmm,
how
absolutely.
Do you talk to people who might disagree with you on things, let alone politics?
Absolutely. And I got the idea for this book. I wrote this book while I was on tour for the last one because I went all over the country. I mean, I'm talking from Portland, Oregon to Midland, Texas, that everywhere, almost right. 40 cities. And I met all these different people from all these different backgrounds. And I realized, you know, what I kind of always had suspected, which is that a lot of us want the same things out of life. Most of us do want the same things out of life, but we just have different ideas about how to get there. So this book is basically a guide for how to connect with somebody who you might have some differences with, because you know, you got to focus on what you have in common. We've been conditioned to believe that you might not have anything in common or you don't have something in common with someone from another party, but that's just not true.
And you are somebody who's independent.
Yeah.
And you're on Gutfeld every day.
Mm-hmm.
So you see people that are dug in and thinks Trump walks on water. You see other people think that he can't do anything right.
Yes.
What I think also hurts is instead of saying, well, the media is reporting each side. I saw the media research today. Look at ABC's coverage. 100% of Kamala Harris's coverage is positive.
Yeah.
87% of Trump's is negative. Mm-hmm. Thinking to myself, there's no possible way in which someone is right all the time, except for you when it comes to fights with your husband. and then there's no way Trump is wrong 85% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do when people look at the media and get mad and say, I'm not going to be part of the ganging up against Trump and I can't possibly be also agreeing with the guy that most news networks find vile?
Yeah, you know, I absolutely understand why people get so angry and why people see things like this and they get dug in for Trump, right? I do think also, though, that we're at this point now where, you know, people expect you to be fully in on one side or the other, but I feel like a lot of people aren't. I feel like a lot of issues are nuanced.
There's more moderates than you think.
I think there's a lot of issues are nuanced, and I think people are always nuanced. People are complex. Just because you have one view on one issue doesn't mean that you have this whole other list of views that fall in line with that. But I also think that really we sadly don't see each other as human beings anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And in this book, I'm very vulnerable. I share a lot of stories I haven't shared before because I think vulnerability is a huge way out of this mess. I think if you're willing to show you're human, we can see each other as human.
Give me an example.
So there's many examples. I talk about, I was on Accutane last summer and it made me suicidal. So I've never talked about that publicly before. I talk about it in the book. I even talk about how it made me hate myself. It was giving me panic attacks really bad when I was trying to read the teleprompter. I share a little bit of my diary when I was really having a meltdown over the teleprompter, which I was nervous about because I feel like you don't want to admit to work weaknesses in, at your work in print that your bosses can read.
Right.
But I've also thankfully had a coach and I'm better at the teleprompter now. But also, even if I didn't get better, I would have handled it a lot better than I was at that time. And abusive relationship I was in. There's a lot of things that I open up about within the context, because when I talk about mental health in the book, I think that we've never talked about it more openly in this country, in our culture, but also we give the literal least leeway for anybody who's going through something. We define people by their mistakes.
Depressed.
Now. Yeah, we define people like you mess up once. Sometimes when you're going through a mental health crisis, that can look really ugly. When I was going through that, I was the last person that anybody wanted to be around. And I think that that's what's missing. I think that it's hard for people right now because they see around people aren't allowed to make mistakes anymore. If you make one mistake, you're somehow defined by that. And we're like, okay, but yes, mental health is important, but we're not actually acting in a way that treats it that way.
Right. When it comes to depression, a lot of times they look at Gutfeld as a carrier.
I mean,
could he have been, did your therapist sit down and say, hey, wait a second, it's got to, the only thing here that I could help is with the Gutfeld situation.
You know, what's funny is people who watch the show noticed, but I write about this in the book too. I had people be like, if you don't like it there, just leave. You know, you think you're too good for this. And people were perceiving it as me thinking I was too good for the show, but really I was feeling like the earth was too good for me. I mean, I was actually hating myself at that point. I replied to some woman who said that to me, and I was like, actually, I want to die because I took this medication. And she was like, I'm so sorry. And I've been doing that a lot lately. When I see hateful messages, I'll DM the person. I'll be like, that really hurt my feelings. And 9 times out of 10, they're like, I didn't mean, I'm so sorry. But I think we don't see each other as human beings anymore. It's not just me. It's everyone. Right. A lot of people deal with this.
I hear you. But having said that, you're dealing with politics on a regular basis.
Yeah.
You try to be dispassionate about it, but you are pumped up for tonight, right?
Of course I'm pumped up for tonight.
Are you guys doing live coverage or no?
No, we're not. So that's
so you have tonight off.
I have tonight off, but I'm going to watch the debate.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to comment on it for the next five days. It might be all we get.
Yeah, exactly. And the fact that this is the first time they've met, to me, the drama, right? That's just very interesting. But I don't know what to expect.
So Kamala Harris did an interview yesterday, kind of under the wire. We picked it up late. Is it with PBS? Yeah, Ricky Smiley, whoever that is. But I think PBS. Let's listen to a little and tell me if you think this might change your mind if she's ready or not.
He plays from this really old and tired playbook, right? Where there's no floor for him in terms of how low he will go. And we should be prepared for that. We should be prepared for the fact that he is not burdened by telling the truth. And we should be prepared for the fact that he is probably going to speak a lot of untruths. He tends to fight for himself, not for the American people. I think he's going to lie. You know, he has a playbook that he has used in the past, his attacks on President Obama or Hillary Clinton. So we should expect that some of that might come out.
So does that make you more hyped?
You know, it's interesting because when she talks about how there's no limit to how low he'll go, he obviously can roast people, right? But he doesn't always do that. What if he doesn't? That's it all. I mean, what if he doesn't? What if he is nice?
That'd be interesting. I think it would be great.
I
don't really know you.
Yeah.
I haven't really seen much of you.
Yeah.
But your policies, I mean, it's looking at your background, I don't even know who you are. Are you the person from 2014? Are you the person in 2019 that says you want to give prisoners, you want to fund prisoners' transgender surgery and the whole fracking, offshore drilling's got to stop, and the wall was a medieval vanity project. Now you've changed your mind on that. Medicare for all, you've changed your mind on that.
Are you bail fund Kamala or are you prosecutor Kamala? Right, without saying dumb, stupid. She says, okay, we have to be prepared for him to be insulting, this and that. I wonder, are you prepared for if he isn't? If I were, I'm sure his team is telling him this, whether he listens to it or not, remains to be seen. But if he stuck to policy and he stayed respectful, she wouldn't get that moment she's looking for.
Which is, I'm speaking now.
That's exactly it. She wants to go, excuse me, I'm speaking. And then everybody, wow, yeah, girl power. That's the moment she wants. If he's respectful, she doesn't get to have that moment. Now, he has a lot of fun roasting people, though. And the base loves it. So I don't know if he'd be better off if he doesn't do that. But we'll have to wait and see.
Kat Timpf is here. Her new book is now out today. I used to like you until How Binary Thinking Divides Us. But he divides us as much as anyone. I thought Mark Thiessen had the best line. He said, the President Trump should not speak to his base. Mm-hmm. He's speaking to seven battleground states and a few thousand people in those states that haven't made up their mind. You're talking maybe 2,500 in those states. Mm-hmm. And what about them? You could, are they waiting to hear from you to maybe put you into the column? So yesterday, Nikki Haley was on, and I said, what do you have to say about the two? What advice do you have for the former president? And Kat, she said what you just said.
Yeah.
She said, she's not dumb. She's not stupid. If it's her policies that are a problem. And I'm telling you, even Republican women are turned off by that.
Yeah.
So if you want to say Joe Biden's stupid, Republican women are fine with that. Democratic women. But if you want to say a woman stupid, well, number one, I find that very elementary, those terms anyway. Never know what's stupid. You have different expertise at this point. Someone's quicker than others. Other people are, you know, everyone's got their own skill set. We're no longer in class. Having said that, you know, he did say over the weekend, dumb and stupid. She's dumber and so stupid. What goes through your mind when you hear that?
It's just like, I mean, it's the same thing also whenever I hear something about her past in terms of her sex life, stuff like that. I think all women know what it feels like to have someone say something like that to them. Men specifically say stuff like that to them. And it doesn't make you feel good. I feel in general like this has been the Democratic playbook, has been to seize on the things that he says like that and look at this guy who's a jerk. And then you go back to whatever bully in your mind who may have called. I mean, I was certainly bullied in school. I think most people probably had some experience of somebody calling them a name or this or that. And it doesn't make you feel good when really you could attack her on her policies and then that's all gone. They can't do that. The base loves it. The base is like, ha ha, get her, right? But you've already got the base. I know people, for example, who have listened to, for example, a speech at the RNC and at the beginning. And I was also even blown away by the beginning when he was talking about the assassination attempt. But then he kept talking and then he kind of went back to, he went from Trump 2.0 to Trump 1.0 again. And people are like, oh, there it is. That you know, people
went on
are very,
too long too.
Yeah, went on too long. But when people hear this, she's a stupid, she's an idiot. They're like, a lot of people think, oh, that's what I don't want to go back to.
Right. And that's just it. You want to go back. Trump was saying, yeah, no, we do want to go back. And the polls show they do want to go back to that economy. And for the longest time, Bidenomics was working. That was all last summer. Bidenomics didn't work. Her approval rating was 32%. Now this is what she's saying.
The people who have an issue or concern with this idea that, you know, you have not done or won't do enough to help people that are having struggles.
Look, I know you know that groceries, for example, are still too expensive and we got some work to do there. Part of my economic plan to build an opportunity for people to actually be on track to build that kind of intergenerational wealth that comes with home ownership. So that's why I call it an opportunity economy.
I guess she's done. Yeah. So she does acknowledge some of the issues of things being 20% more across the board. So if you're paycheck to paycheck, it's now a little less. If you did get a raise, cost of living raise, it's still hurting. And even though they tell you inflation's down and the economy's never been better, I think that takes people off when you tell them something they're living is wrong.
That's the thing, is you don't need to be someone who reads Forbes. You just need to go to the grocery store to understand people can actually feel this, right? And you know, obviously, that if things were going well, that they'd be taking credit for that.
Oh, yeah.
So, and saying things like opportunity economy, you should be able to buy a home. What ideas do you have? Because the ideas that I've heard are very concerning. I mean, the fact that she even spoke about price controls, I mean, that's one of the most horrifying things I've heard a politician say.
$25,000 for a first-time home buyer.
I mean, I think that, again, these are very real concerns. These are things people are concerned about. These are things that affect people every day that they see every day. If Trump can focus on those things, that is a real challenge for him. But if he can focus on those things, it'll be a different debate tonight.
All right. There was a time when who you voted for was just a minor thing that no one really talked about. It. When we come back, I'm going to ask Kat this question. When Trump goes, whether he wins or not, he's done. He's done in four. He'll never run an election again, or he's done in 2 months. What changes when he's gone? Do we go back? Kat Timpf on her new book, I Used to Like You Until. Don't move.
Both sides, all opinions. It's Brian Kilmeade. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
She's right now practicing. Do you know that? She's in Pennsylvania, and she's practicing for the debate. She's locked herself in a room. She's got a lot to learn. She's locked herself in a room, and they have one problem. You know what the problem is? They have MAGA people outside screaming, "We love Trump, we love Trump, we love Trump," and they can't focus.
I'm not sure if that's true, but I know that they knew where they were located. And we saw her walking. Kat Timpf is here. Her book is out. I Used to Like You Until. It is out today. And that was President Trump talking about the big event tonight. It's 12 hours away. Kat, first off, just so we get it in, do you think when Trump wins or loses, do things get less polarized?
You know, it's hard to say because I don't think there's any world in which he actually goes away. And the reason I think that is because he didn't this time, you know, throughout Biden's entire presidency,
he always could run again. We always knew he was going to run again.
But he was still heavily influencing things throughout Biden's entire presidency. He's not the kind of guy that kind of just sits quietly and idly by. Mm-hmm. So, I think also things have just changed now.
Right.
I think people talk to each other in a way, and I'm talking about both sides, in a way where you wouldn't have before, because everybody kind of points out the way that Trump talks to people and that's not present. And, you know, people who will talk like that, and I get it, but also it goes from left to right too, where it's like, if you vote for Trump, it's not like, you voted for Trump. I didn't. It's like, you voted for Trump. I'm not speaking to you ever again.
Right.
And in your real life. And I write about this in my book, where it's politics makes us fight with people we actually know on behalf of these politicians who don't even know we exist.
Great point. So what is some advice you have?
I have some advice is to lead with vulnerability, be willing to be open and show you're a human. And instead of leading with judgment, be curious about the other person and be willing to say, hey, you know, okay, that's not how I feel. Why do you feel the way you feel? I feel this way. And honestly, you can actually get people to win them over to your side that way sometimes. You're never going to get anybody to come and see your point of view by telling them they're a horrible person.
Right. Don't insult them.
It can be tough. I get it. But if you care, and really the media and politicians, like Nancy is a perfect example, they use this division to gain more power and control.
I don't know if you've seen the study. I think some like 70% of women, when asked, would they vote someone who supported Donald Trump, said no.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel? That's exactly why you wrote the book.
That's exactly
why
I wrote
the book.
You
might be the best guy in the world, but if you voted for Trump, I can't.
It's incomprehensible as someone. So I'm independent, but I obviously work here. Okay. I have a lot of very close friends who are very, very pro Trump people. And guess what? They're great people.
Right.
The way you voted doesn't tell you everything you need to know about a person.
And if they don't vote for Trump, are they bad people? Or?
Exactly. No.
Okay.
It's one aspect of a person. It's one aspect of a person.
Right. Congratulations on your book. Go pick it up. I Used to Like You Until. Go get him, Kat.
Thank you.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter. And I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.